Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. And today we are doing our book talk episode. And we're going to be covering The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, which is one of my favorites. And if you have not seen it or read it yet, I would suggest that you go out and take a look at it. And just really good stuff here. Peter, why don't you get us started today?
Hey, well, thank you very much, Rick. Who is this guy Ruiz anyway? Who is he? Well, what he tells us is that he's a Nahual, or that's the Spanish, master of the Eagle Knight lineage of 1,000 years of Toltec Indian ancestral wisdom. And in this book, he promises to reveal the four agreements, which he says are the summary of the Toltec's mastery of transformation. The Toltec masters were forced to shield this knowledge from those who were not prepared to use it wisely, or who might intentionally misuse it for personal gain. But ancient prophecies foretold the coming of an age, this is all from the book, folks, it would be necessary to return the wisdom to the people. And now, apparently, is that time. Well, not right now, today, it was back in 1987, the book itself was 97, but anyway, you get the idea. And now, my listeners and viewers, I must ask you, are you prepared to use this knowledge wisely and not intentionally use it for personal gain? Well, you know, maybe a little bit of personal gain, but not a lot of personal gain. If you said yes, you may well have just learned the first, no, that's not the first agreement. Well, it's a good agreement, though. So no need for you to take out your secret decoder ring. Indiana Jones has left the building. Just stay tuned. Rick, Frank, and I will give you three takes on four agreements in less than 30 minutes. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Frank, what do you think about this? What do you think about the four agreements?
Well, if you read the four agreements, there are actually four. They say it's be impeccable with your words. I quote here, don't take anything personally, don't make assumptions, and always do your best. That might be Toltec wisdom, but was something my mother always told me also, hey, Frank, what's your language? Because then I was playing with the kids, you know how it goes. Yeah, my ego was a little bit high on adrenaline and we're fighting with the guys. And then you just used words that, when I look back, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, be impeccable with your words. I think that's number one key. And I think that's a very interesting way to look at things. Don't take anything personally. We talked about it in a previous podcast. I think that's a great statement, because we all make it our own. Look at social media and see what happens there. It's about that, at least in the most negative things. Of course, they have a lot of constructive and positive thoughts about things and real open-minded discussions. Don't make any assumptions. I think that might be the most difficult one, because we are... living with the assumptions, when we go to school, when we get education at home, feedback from friends at work, and so on, we constantly get bombarded with all kinds of opinions, ideas, and assumptions also. And always do your best. That's the one. Yeah, always do your best. And I have the question. When are you doing your best? What does it mean, always doing your best? That means also that there is, from my understanding, what's the assumption behind number four? So I think Don Miguel is a great guy, but number four, I have a small question mark, to be honest. What about you guys?
All right. Thank you, Frank. So about 10 years into my spiritual journey, I started to look in the mirror more. So it took that long for me to think that maybe I needed to work on me. And, this whole mirror thing is, it's a profound symbol in a lot of this work. A great example of self-reflection. And as the book says, seeking happiness and love. So there's this principle of the smoky mirror and the dream between us and our God self. And so what we have to do is try to get past the illusion. You know, we talked about programming in an earlier episode. And so we're always in this dream state where we can't really get a grip on how to either cope, or if we're coping, how do we elevate? So, you know, for me, this, you know, this book represented some great wisdom. It also simplified for an overthinker four things that I could do that really felt intuitively like great starting points. So that's why I really appreciated, you know, when you guys brought this up and that we would talk about this book. So Peter, you want to go a bit deeper?
Yeah. Let's have a look at what Mr. Ruiz promises us. He says, if you honor this formerly secret ancient teaching, this is the power that you are going to get from this wisdom, freedom, true happiness, and love. So given that this is the power you're going to get, I was a little confused as to why we might have to hide this for 1,000 years from wicked people who might intentionally misuse it. I think it's an overblown un poquito. After all, who needs some love and true happiness more than somebody who's being wicked? It maybe would help heal their hearts. Now, in the book, you're going to read passages such as phrases such as allies, personal power, first attention, second attention, being impeccable. And some of you, perhaps some of you older folk, might recognize those words from earlier books, those by Carlos Castaneda, who began writing his books in the 60s. And it's kind of a weird pedigree because Ruiz and Castaneda are on two completely different paths. Castaneda was a University of California anthropology student who apprenticed himself to a Yaqui Indian brujo or sorcerer who was an heir to the ancient Toltec wisdom. And in his books, Castaneda would describe his hallucinogenic trips that he would take from imbibing jimson weed and mushrooms, which almost drove him mad and invariably left him puking his guts out. He spoke of meetings with witches, men of power, magical demonic forces, which constantly tried to kill him. And the climax of one of his trips into the desert was where he found himself jumping off of a mountain cliff. The purpose of that path, that form of Toltec wisdom, was definitely not to improve your daily life. If you undertook this sorcerer's path, you were attempting to gain, at great risk to your life, enough personal power, another phrase you'll find in Ruiz's book, to provide you with 1 cubic centimeter of chance, so that at the moment of your death, you could escape the fate of ordinary mortals like myself, whose consciousness would be blasted into 1,000,000 pieces. And instead, because of that power you'd gathered, you held your identity and awareness intact, and you were able to make the sorcerer's leap into infinity. But learning to be happy is a good thing too. And so perhaps Ruiz's book would be more your style. What I liked best about the four agreements was the stuff before the agreements themselves. He begins talking about them. The stuff he wrote on domestication and dreaming. And this is also comes from Castaneda, but I use the same metaphor in my mindful pathfinding. Now, be warned, this ancient Toltec truth, which I'm about to lay on you, may shock you. So hold on tight to something. Here it is. What you are seeing and hearing right now is a dream. You are dreaming right now, even though you feel awake. That's some pretty heavy stuff, right? And if your brain just checked out on you, I don't blame you. If you see your hand reaching for a candy bar in a futile attempt to make things seem normal, it's too late. You are in the matrix. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a metaphor. That's all it is. It is one that does approximate what research shows. It seems that the brain doesn't always show you what's out there. It prefers its own preconceived version of reality, even when it's confronted with facts. And where did it get this internal description of who you are and how the world is? Well, here's a story about how that happens, which is in the book, and Castaneda uses it too. As a child, your caregivers, authorities, and influencers try to hook your attention to only notice the things that support their story of who you are and how the world works. And the way that they make sure your attention is hooked is by rewarding you with approval when you agree to pay attention to what they want you to, and punishment when you disapproval when you don't. And at a certain point, your brain gets domesticated, and it doesn't really need those people to keep you in line, to keep you in society's dream, because it self-regulates. Your brain does the rewarding and punishing itself. And Riz contends in his book that being trapped in this type of dream is like being in hell. We are, in effect, making our own hell. There's doubt, there's fear, there's anxiety, frustration, anger, hopelessness, basically your average Monday morning. But Riaz offers us a way out, the four agreements. Yeah. And if we choose to live by the four agreements, he assures us we will create a new dream, our personal dream of heaven, he says. Now, I'm shuffling the order in which I speak of these agreements because for me, they make more sense this way. So I'll begin with the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. Remember, Riaz explained the reason we're trapped in this negative dream is because we're so desperate for the approval of others that we agree with whatever they say the world is like and we are like. But if we don't take anything personal, whether they praise us or demean us, it won't matter. And that's what frees us from their power and frees us to form our own dream. Next, the third agreement, don't make assumptions. So I know you've heard this. I get the old adage, don't assume, ask questions. Everybody says it, but really assumptions allow you to operate in life. We have assumptions about everything, including my assumption right now that the chair I'm sitting on will support me. That's an assumption based upon my past experience. An assumption is only useful as what it's based on. So yeah, ask questions if you don't have something solid to base an assumption on. But what often will hurt you the most about making a baseless assumption is how attached you are to it. So say your friend breaks a promise. You assumed your friend would keep their promise, even when they haven't in the past. So that was a baseless assumption on your part, and you're completely devastated that they didn't keep their promise. That's because you let yourself get too attached to that assumption. So for me, this agreement reads better as don't attach yourself to baseless assumptions. And speaking of baseless assumptions, I'm going to assume you want me to keep going here. Fortunately, I'm not too attached to whether you do or not, because I won't take it personally if you've zoned out. Next is the first agreement. Be impeccable with your words. Okay. This is just Riaz being dramatic. He could have just said, be careful with your words, right? Be careful with your words. But he wanted to invoke that feeling that Carlos Castaneda had, be impeccable. Well, the reason Castaneda said a sorcerer has to be impeccable in everything they do is because Castaneda believed if you're a sorcerer, the slightest mistake you make might allow the magical powers to kill you. So I'm just figuring that's probably not going to be as big a problem for you in your daily life, unless you're dealing with magical powers. Riaz goes overboard with this one. He says in the book, one word can destroy the lives of millions of people. And he gives us this example, Hitler. Yes, McGill, I'll try and remember to be impeccable so my words don't accidentally spark a world war and massive genocide, okay? I'll be sure to watch that. It doesn't relate to where we are in our own life. But the interesting thing here, the main reason Riaz wants you to be careful with your words is because other people might take them personally or make baseless assumptions on them. and get them upset. So I figure if that happens, you just give them the book. Don't take it personally. Don't make assumptions, right? And then they'll be okay. The fourth agreement is always do your best. I understand why Frank had some difficulty with this, but his idea is, what he's trying to suggest is, if you honestly do your best, then you'll be able to sleep at night because, after all, you did your best. Except that I know people, I'm sure you do, who no matter how hard they try, they're always convinced that they could have done better. And it actually torments them, even though you say, no, you did your best. And they go, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. So it doesn't always work that way. My version is, remember that everyone always does their best. And because I'm trying to be careful with my words, right? Impeccable. Everyone always does their best in any given situation, given the inner resources that they have access to at that time. So a person might say, oh, he could have done better if he was just more conscientious or motivated or thoughtful or not as lazy. And that's exactly my point. Yeah, in that given situation, he didn't have access to those inner resources of being more motivated, more conscientious, less lazy. And that's why he couldn't do it. It's just logic. If he'd felt more motivated or whatever, he would have automatically done better. And the point of this is that the same thing that is true for others is true for you. You always do the best you can in any given situation, automatically, given the inner resources that you're able to access at that time. Or as my non-conscious mind, my deeper self that I call my pathfinder once told me, you do the best you can, and sometimes you fall short of the mark. And that is life in a nutshell. So I'll end this, but I just want to make one skeptic's note. Riaz promised that in this book, if you honor these four agreements, you will transform your life, be 100% in control. And we read the book and we feel really great. And guess what? Turns out there's a fifth agreement. We didn't know about this fifth agreement. In 2011, he wrote a new book revisiting the four agreements and claiming there was always a fifth agreement in the Toltec ancestral tradition. So you may be forgiven for asking, why didn't he just include it with the other four ingredients 14 years previous? His reason, he writes, he didn't include it because the first four ingredients were enough of a challenge that time for us. We couldn't have handled the fifth one. Okay. What is the fifth agreement? Because I know you're waiting. That was too much for us to handle. It is a powerful new agreement for transforming our lives into our personal heaven. Oh, yeah, that's what he said in the first book. But anyway, that will take us to a deeper level of awareness of the power of self, return us to the authenticity we were born with, right? And what is the fifth agreement? Be skeptical, but listen. So that's my take. And now it's time for you to wake up from this nightmare that's been your dream of me. Turn down the music so you can benefit from our in-house masters of wisdom, our Dutch master, and our Italian-American master. Back to you, Rick.
Wow. Good stuff, Peter. That's going to be a top episode right there. Frank, what do you think about this? He dropped the fifth agreement on us.
Well, I'm flabbergasted, of course. Well, did you design this yourself just on the spot, or is it the real fifth assignment? I don't know.
It is a book.
All right. The key in his book for me is that he elaborates on your domestication. Mm-hmm. You were born, and as a pedagogue, I'm looking at children and see them play. And if you have children, or maybe not, but look around and you see children play, and they go out. They have, after dinner, Dad, can I go out? I want to play football or whatever. You know, everyone does that when you're small. But then something else kicks in, and he says it's a domestication. And actually, when you say, why are we right now as a counselor and Frank Wise, I'm helping people to develop themselves in a spiritual way, but also in a practical psychological way, or in the business, what they focus on is, Well, we have a lot of responsibilities. It's feeling like a burden. You know, if you look at responsibilities, even worse, I hold you accountable. Accountability, responsibility are two thing keywords which really lowers the energy in 9 of 10 cases and don't make you any playful anymore. So there are a lot of therapies and a lot of coaching on developing and discovering and developing your inner child. So the inner child is actually in kind of open-mindedness and a way of feeling, which he describes as, well, you get rid of this feeling of open-mindedness due to domestication. Is it all wrong? No, it's not all wrong. Of course not. But it makes you less playful. It makes you probably over-serious. But he says, be impeccable with your own words. If you look closely at the word, it's from Latin root, which actually means impeccable as connection with sin, be sinful. So what does he describe sinfulness in a great way? But the essence is that if you somehow verbally attack one or giving a negative feedback, in the end, someone always will retaliate. Yeah, and you will respond or react to it. So negativity will meet negativity. So the way you express yourself, the feedback you get is most out of cases, is also negative. So the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act, elicits a kind of reaction from someone else. So be clear in how you talk about yourself. Your self-talk is a very important thing. Don't make things personally, don't make it sticky. Now, many things are made sticky. You stick to it. I can remember when I was young, I just pops up in my mind. I was in the swimming pool. We were in France. I was playing with kids, and we did some water polo, throwing balls, and I pushed two guys underwater because then I could catch the ball better. So the referee blew his whistle and said, "Get me out. What do you do? You push them down," and so on, and then look at them and so on. So even this moment when I remember this, I don't feel bad about it right now, but I can remember when I think about that situation, that I felt bad about it. But it just happens. So one of the things of the four agreements I'm missing in is also be not so judgmental about yourself. That, this is life. Take it easy. Was it right or wrong what I was doing? Oh, I was a kid. I was playing and I did it that way. Should I know better now? Yes, I know better now. You shouldn't do that. But in daily life, are we doing things, not pushing people in a different way? Well, to be honest, sometimes I do. And I'm proud of it. No, I'm not so proud of it. But what I'm realizing, so I try to be so awake as possible or aware as possible that the moment I get that feeling, I catch it and transform a reaction to a more constructive way to respond. Is that easy? Well, if you look at the everything Don Miguel wrote about domestication, it is not that easy. So you have to unlearn it. I think the four agreements are a great way to look yourself again in the mirror and to reflect on it. But again, don't judge yourself and say, okay, I'm doing all wrong and I'm not good enough, because that won't help you. Decide today to do a different thing. Decide today that you do it in such a way that you honor yourself and honor other people. And you might disagree. Of course, you might disagree. That's not a problem. We are here. We live together, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree. But it's the way you deal with it and the way you do it in a constructive and more optimistic way. That, I think, is for me the main lesson if I look at the four and even the five agreements.
Good job, Frank. So I just, while you were talking, I canceled the polo match when you come over to the States. I think that, I got a lot out of this book. Again, not only when I first read it, but in reviewing it again to go back and look at it. And it's one of those you got to keep it on the nightstand. It's just, it's such a terrific source of wisdom. And, you know, as you can hear and see today, everybody has a different lens. So, you know, this dreaming while awake part, I actually feel like when I'm dreaming that I'm actually aware of those dreams. So, you know, some of these rules and beliefs that we get saddled with, you know, I'm actually questioning them. And I can honestly say that when I'm in my dreams, I'm actually thinking like that I'm awake. Hmm. So I actually have this strange ability to think that way while I'm dreaming. So I'm assuming that, you know, I'm going to feel like I'm in a dream state while I'm awake. Because, you know, it sometimes feels like that. It sometimes feels like, is that the reality or is this the reality? So I don't know if either of you have felt like that or anybody listening or watching has felt that, but I sometimes go back and forth, not being sure whether this is, you know, the real thing or the dream state is real. So I can totally relate to that. And a lot of those rules and beliefs are maybe the opposite or suspended in that dream state. So, you know, there's incredible stuff happening in there. And, you know, whether this is the imagination or the brain telling me what it sees, for me, there's a very fine line between the waking and the dream state. So just a little bit about Rick there for you. This attention thing, you know, studying attention and studying, you know, children wanting to get attention and how motivated we are by that. I've spent most of my life in sales. So recognition and the approval of, you know, not only a customer or a manager, you know, a loved one, a partner, you know, when we choose to focus on that, it can be a challenging slope because once you get addicted to getting attention or recognition, then of course you are going to leave everything that happens in the hands of somebody else. Not my style anymore, but I definitely lived a long time in that, so I can relate. The learning thing, this domestication thing, I can totally relate to that because I remember being the youngest, you know, the youngest of three kids. Every day somebody was saying, "Oh, good boy, Ricky, good boy." So I was totally, you know, it almost feels now when I hear this, like I was like a farm animal. It was like just this good boy thing meant so much, and be a good boy and, you know, quick disapproval when I was bad. So we begin to be ruled, you know, by these inner laws. And, you know, as Ruiz says in the book, our safety sometimes depends on getting this feeling that we're obeying these rules. You know, as a parent, growing up in the parenting, you know, studies, they always said kids love structure. But the other side of that is, you know, that it's almost like saying that we have to keep them in a box in order to manage them properly. So, you know, in life, we're always searching. You know, one of the key things when I read about the fear portions of the book, fear of death versus fear of fully living. And, you know, as a 59-year-old adult now, thinking about, well, did I do the things I want to do? I don't want to have regrets, you know, and how do I live life fully? My own dad passed at 53, so I'm very cognizant of that. And we have so many agreements that we make with ourselves. When you read this book, you start to think about all of the things that we tell ourselves all day long, you know, to justify our behaviors, our actions, our thoughts, why we do things and don't do things. So I wrote down a few notes about the agreements. For me, words are very important. So be impeccable with your word. Ruiz says, our word is a force, power to express, communicate, think, and speak. One of the reasons the three of us came together to do this podcast is so we could share these things with you. So we want to be impeccable with our word here on this show. That's the key to master this first. I do believe that my words make a big difference. I grew up not really feeling good about some of the words that were said to me and that were used around me. So I did see a lot of tension in my life, and words were used as a source of that. So I became hyper aware of it. And now in my own life, I try to use words as an instrument of change and elevation and to heal. So I would say, if you're listening and watching today, that can be a great first step. The second one, don't take anything personally, neither high nor low, good or bad, staying grounded. As again, a very high energy person, I've had to learn to stay in that middle ground. If I'm not too high or too low, that's a great place for me. It's not my norm, but if I stay there, I definitely feel the difference. Don't make assumptions. In all my relationship coaching, the struggle that couples were having was that they had unnecessary expectations of the other person. And so one of my hallmark teachings was to try and not have expectations of another person. If you want to have them of yourself, fine, but try not to be, you know, expecting things from other people. So no assumptions, no disappointments. And this fourth one, always do your best. I find as I get older, having a standard of doing your best without thinking about it is actually easier. I find it to be easier than when I was younger and I tried to cut corners or find the shortcut, especially in work life, where accumulation and achievement and competition makes you seek an unfair advantage sometimes. So it's actually easier just doing your best every day and not looking at what the other person is doing and not measuring yourself by what anyone else is thinking or doing and trying to remove that competitive. You know, this one speed, doing your best and being honest, actually eliminated the struggle for me. So, you know, that's my take on this. It's just been a very valuable tool. Peter, you want to give us your summary?
Okay, so I enjoyed the book. I tried it out in my life. And from the trying of it, I actually got my own three keys to life. The first being, remember yourself. You're not your brain. You're not your thoughts. There's more to you than you know. You have a deeper, wiser, better informed level of mind. The second was, own your experience. Yes, stuff happens to you. That's true. But what you think about it, as we discussed in the previous episode, your thoughts determines the quality of your experience with the situation. And the third was, embrace your aspects. There is me, the conscious me, but there's also my brain, which is actively thinking, and my non-conscious mind, or as I say, my champion and my pathfinder. And I don't yell at my brain and scold it, or I coach it instead. I embrace it. I embrace my brain. I embrace my deeper self because those are my aspects and I've developed a relationship with them. So read the book and see if it works for you, because that's always the bottom line. Do what works best for you. Rick.
Terrific, Peter. Thank you. Brother Frank, take us out.
Yes, I think it is a very interesting book and it makes me think about someone else, Neil Donald Walsh, who was the writer of the series, well-known series, Conversations with God. And I have here a little card, this card, yeah. And it's referring to, I think, three aspects closely related to the four agreements. It says, think only what you choose to experience. Say only what you choose to make real. Do only what you choose to demonstrate as your highest reality.
Yeah.
And I think four agreements are completely in line with also this path of personal power, of personal development, for being your authentic self. Think only what you choose to experience, say only what you choose to make real, and do only what you choose to demonstrate as your highest reality.
Good stuff. Thank you, Frank. So I will close us out by saying that, you know, in my own life, this quest for personal freedom has been super important. I don't know where it came from, but it's always been like this light that I'm always moving towards. So hopefully you can find some personal freedom in this book, and more importantly, that you find it by joining us for the Road Ahead Cafe. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.